Jimmy Brooks asked me to do this one Sunday while Earl was out, and I think Satan was holding on to me, and I couldn't do it, so he asked me again, and I told him I'd do it, and it would be all right. The Sunday he preached, he said that, you know, he was going to do it, and then Aaron was going to be next, and he said if Earl wasn't back, I'd have to fill in, and Z.T. Wells was sitting back on, and he said, I sure hope Earl is back, so... So I was hoping ZT was going to be here this morning, but he's not here, but that's fine. When Jimmy asked me to do this, I thought about it, and I'll tell you before I get started, I had a little help with it. I had two ladies to help me. I had Miss Barbara Wright to help me, and I had Jessica to help me a little bit, and I thank them for doing that. But I'm not going to stand up here and try to preach this morning, because I can't do that. And I'm going to tell you about some men, some from the Bible, some from this church, and then some that was in my life. And I think all of them were great role models, and that's something we don't have a whole lot this day and time. When you look at our professional ball players and even our politicians, you know, you don't see many that you want to walk behind and, you know, make your life like them. So, and this church has had a bunch of them. And I'm going to start off with Job. And the message that I put on my sermon this morning was men of faith. And I think all of these, you know, we could follow and pattern our lives behind. But the first one I'm going to tell you about is Job. And I'm going to read from Job 2nd chapter, verse 3. And it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a man blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Then I'm going to read from James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessings who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now, Job had some strengths. He was a man of faith, patience, and endurance. He was known for his generosity and a caring man. And he was a very wealthy man. And he also had weaknesses, just like all of us have weaknesses. Job allowed his desires to understand why he was suffering, overwhelmed him, and made him question God. And, you know, all of us do that. I've done it, and, you know, we shouldn't question God because we know he's doing the best for us when he makes a decision. It's the right decision. So Job's story, Job was a good man who loved God. Job was very rich and healthy. The devil dared God to take everything away from Job because he thought that Job would not obey God. If Job was poor and sick, so God let the devil have his way. Bad things began to happen to Job. His animals and his wife were killed and his family. Then Job became very sick, but Job still praised God because Job had faithfulness. God blessed Job with more than ever before. And you know, Job's life was built on God, and he endured. And if we build ours on God, we will follow that also. And, you know, Job, like I said, built his life on God. And, you know, we should check our foundation to see what, you know, we are built on. And may you be able to say that when all is gone, God, he is enough. That is all we need. No matter what God takes from us, if we've got God, that's all that we need. The next person I'm going to speak about in the Bible will be Joshua. And I'll read verses Joshua 1, 15 through 17. And it says, until the Lord has given you your brethren's rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so will we heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he is with Moses. Joshua was Moses' assistant and successor, and he led the Israelites into God's given homeland. Joshua was a brilliant military man. He was faithful to God's direction in the challenges he faced. And a lesson that we can learn from this for our life is effective leadership is often the product of good preparation and encouragement. And the person after whom we pattern ourselves will have a definite effect on us. And all of us know that. The ones that bring you up, the way they bring you up, you know, if you walk behind them enough, you're going to be patterned like they are. And a person committed to God provides the best model for all of us. If a man has got God in him and we follow him, that is one of our best examples that we can do. And Joshua's story, Joshua was Moses' successor as Israel's leader. God told Joshua to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into the promised land. When Joshua and God's people reached the Jordan River, the waters stopped flowing and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. But the Israelite enemies would not let them in Jericho, so God showed them a way that they could get in. He told them to march around the city walls, blowing their horns, and the walls would tumble down. And this time, God's people won again. And if he tells you what to do and you do it, and you're going to win too. So if he, you know, you got to follow what the Lord tells you. And sometimes I know it's hard to do, but we do our best sometime, I guess. One of the best tests of our leadership is our willingness and ability to train another for our position. And you know, everybody's going to have to take your place one day. And the ones behind you, let's hope we've trained them right. Because they're the ones going to be leading us and leading the church. So, you know, let's do the best we can. When they're watching us, let's be doing what we're supposed to. Who's going to be your Moses? Who is your Joshua? You are part of the chain of God, ongoing works in this world. You are modeling yourself after others, and others are patterning their lives after you. How important is God to those you want to be like? Do those who are watching you see God's reflection in every area of your life? Ask God to lead you to a trustworthy Moses. Ask him to make you a good Joshua. My next one is going to be Nehemiah, and I'm going to read from Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18. And it says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies wasted, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good unto me, and also of the king's words that had spoken to me. See, they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. And then I read Nehemiah 13:31, and it says, remember me, O God, for good. Nehemiah, he was a man of character, persistence, and prayer. He was a brilliant planner, organizer, and motivate. And I don't care what you do this day and time, if you don't plan it first and organize it and motivate it and have the Lord in it, you just will not start, because it's all built around the Lord. And under Nehemiah's leadership, the wall around Jerusalem was rebuilt in 52 days. As a political leader, he led the nation to religious reform and spiritual awakening. He was calm under opposition. And Wesley, you know, we talked about this morning in Sunday school about Peter. We need to be calm under opposition. So, you know, we all got something that we can learn from this. And you need to be, Nehemiah, he was capable of being bluntly honest with his people when they were sinning. And the first step in any venture, like I just told you, is prayer. You got to have prayer in any venture that you do. If you start out doing anything without prayer, you don't just well not even start. And I said this one was for me this morning when I had it. I said, people under God's direction can accomplish impossible tasks. And you know, if he wants you to do it, you can get up here and do it. I mean, it takes a little strength and all, but you know, if the good Lord wants you here, you can make it up here. And there are two parts to real service to God: talking with him and then walking with him. If you talk with him and then don't walk with him, you just well not do either one, because you know, you got to get out there and walk straight and narrow. Hard to do. Everybody can't walk straight and narrow, and that's what it takes this day and time. Nehemiah was an honest man who had a compassion for his fellow Israelites. He was the cupbearer to the king, but Nehemiah was sad because the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed by fire and laid in ruin. Nehemiah wanted to rebuild them. After asking the king's permission, Nehemiah gathered timber and men to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem to keep God's people safe from their enemies. The walls of Jerusalem was built in 52 days. And notes from this: you may not have Nehemiah's unique abilities or feel that you are in a position where you can do anything great for God, but there are two ways you can become useful to God. First, be a person who talks to him, like I told you a while ago. Welcome him into your thoughts and share yourself with him. Your concerns, your feelings, your dreams. And second, be a person who walks with God. Put what you learn from his words into action. God may have an impossible mission that he wants you to do through him. So you know, you got to walk and talk to God to make things work. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about some people in this church. We're in this church. And if I miss some, I will. And some of the important ones I probably did. But if I know Barbara Wright talked to us a little one Sunday when we had Baptist men about the history of this church. And if somebody would like to come another Sunday on Baptist Men's Day, or maybe get with Earl, I'm pretty sure he'd let them do a little history on the church. And I enjoy it anyway. So at this time, I would like to mention some of the men from Ephesus Baptist Church that had a significant impact on helping the church develop into what we see today. A few men in the early days were Willie Ryland, Joe Ryland, William Ryland, Robert F. Trim, and I think this is Barbara's father, Tally Elam, Chris Tisdall. They were all men of prayer. Some prayed silently, while others prayed out loud. And all of these men put in many hard hours of labor here at this church and love that most people in this church, you know, they would never know nothing about the work that they've done in this church. But these men worked hard, and, you know, we're glad that we had men like this that we could model ourselves behind. William and Joe Ryland, they were brothers, and they had a gristmill up the road here. And they were always giving away flour and cornmeal to people that didn't have, you know, anything. And, you know, that means a whole lot. You share what you got with other people when they don't have anything. Willie Ryland had a store up the road that also served many people in the area. These men would get up a load of food to take to the up to Salem to the Virginia Baptist Orphanage, now known as Hope Tree. They would take barrels of flour, meal, crates of sweet potatoes, fruit, jars of canned goods, and vegetables. If it had not been for the food supplied by the churches, the children could have gone hungry. Our church was very proud of what we'd done. And you know, we're still doing that. We still carrying stuff up, and you know, these men set examples that we follow behind. And maybe some of y'all knew these men. And it also said the people of the church did not have a lot of cash money. They made up for it in service and love, and all were very dedicated in serving the Lord. Robert Trim was a builder and made the book racks for the pews that were later given to River Ridge. Several Ephesus men helped start the mission at River Ridge, and Charles James was one of them. Roy Smiley was one. Claude Wright was one. I think that's Bill's father. Herman Ryland, William Trim, and Drew Martin. I think this is Ms. Martin's husband. All of the men, all of the above mentioned men had families and taught their sons love and compassion for others as they knew and practiced it. The next generation of men were Herman Ryland, William and Roy Trim, Bryson and Billy Ryland, Meredith Brooks, and many more. And I think Meredith was Jimmy's daddy, right, Jimmy? Yes, sir. Ephesus has not always had Sunday school rooms, but we can accredit the first Sunday school rooms to Roy Trim and the men who set out to Camp Butner over in North Carolina. They were dismantling some of the barracks over there, and they were selling the material at a reasonable price. And each day, Roy and the other men would go with the pastor to tear down and bring back materials to build the Sunday school room. And I guess this was a very exciting time for Ephesus Baptist Church. If you didn't have Sunday school rooms and were going to get them, you know, the Lord was working somewhere. When Murray Smiley, this is Sadie's daddy, right, Sadie? Moved to the neighborhood, he joined in with all his strength to help in what other projects were underway, whether it was moving a fence or doing some other job. Drew and Martin, along with other men from the neighborhood, also took part in all the projects. Mr. Hart Hudson helped remodel and revindicate the church, and Johnny Jones helped with building the parsonage on the land that had been donated by Joe and Bryson Ryland, and the parsonage was up the road here across from Barbara, kind of up there. It was the men of the church who cleaned the yards, the cemetery, every fall and spring, which was a big job, but needed to be done, and they all came together to make sure things looked nice. After Claude Wright married Virginia Dare, I think this is Bill's mother and father, he became very active in the church and meant much to the growth of the church. And also the Cleeton boys, they sang, and that always added to the worship service. So see, everybody had a little part in it. Everybody was keeping things going. And as you see, we have had some very devoted Christian men in our church who were very caring and hardworking. Men who were valuable to our church then and now because they modeled our future leaders, which we have passed on for generations. And you know, you see the men in the church now. And you know, they walk behind some good men. I know these men I spoke about were good men, and you see what we have now. But you see how good, you know where they got it from, is because they learned it from the best. And you know, we need a whole lot of men like the ones I've talked about in this church today, ones we can model our lives behind and walk behind and learn how to be Christians and, you know, be better people. So now at the end, I'm going to tell you about three people that was in my life, I think, that really helped me. I might get a little emotional with some of them, but I'm going to try not to. First one I'm going to speak about is my dad. My dad was a farmer, and he was a farmer all his life. And he served in World War II. He raised five girls and three boys. And we were all taught ethics, morals, and manners. And if you didn't have nothing else, you were going to have those. And my dad was a great Christian man who loved his family and neighbors. He would help anybody that needed help for no pay. He was a church-going man. He loved the Lord, and I never heard my dad raise his voice and could hold his temper as good as anybody I've ever seen. When my dad died, he was not afraid to die because he knew where he was going to a better place. And he would tell anybody this, you know. My dad knew he was going to heaven. And I just thank the Lord for letting a man like this be my dad. And I wish a bunch more people could have one like that. The next man I'm going to tell you about is Robert Dewey Cliburn. Some of y'all might know him. I called him R.D. Me and R.D. was good rabbit hunting buddies. And we didn't do a whole lot of rabbit hunting when we were at rabbit hunting because R.D. was a big talker. But R.D. was in the Navy. And R.D. was a good cook. And whenever you went to R.D.'s house, you were, you know, he cooked you a good meal. And you never met a better Christian man to walk behind. I don't care whether you were rabbit hunting or in the church. We had the Lord with us. R.D. was a strong pillar at Ephesus Baptist Church, and this is where I used to go to church at, over to Ephesus. He was a man that when the church door opened, he was there. He was a deacon, he was a Sunday school teacher, and he was a strong leader. He led in cooking stews for our church homecoming and most of all other jobs at the church. R.D. loved the Lord. He loved to read the Bible, and he loved to pray. And I'll tell you a little something about R.D. When I was young, the pastor would always ask somebody at the end to close with prayer. And when he asked R.D., you were going to be there a while. And sometime I'd be sitting over there, and you couldn't open both eyes to see if he was about ready to finish. You could open one, because if you open both of them, you'd probably get them closed. But R.D., and I later learned to love R.D.'s prayers. R.D. could pray, and, you know, it was good for everybody. About the time R.D. retired, he had cancer. And no matter how sick he was from his treatments, he came to Sunday school and preaching. We set a chair down front for R.D. to come in and sit in. And he was there every Sunday. And, you know, you got to be mighty good, be sick as R.D. was some Sundays to come to church. R.D. was a role model for many people, including myself. I pray everyone can have a R.D. in their life like I did when I was a young man. The Lord definitely knows how to make a role model. And you know, it's very few R.D.'s. The next one I'm going to tell you about is Dr. Warren Turner. I don't know whether any of y'all know Mr. Warren Turner, but he preached at Ephesus for a right good while. I guess he started there about the time me and Betsy got married. I mean, Ebenezer. About the time me and Betsy got married, and when Jessica come along, you know, he was there. And I'll say this, Mr. Reverend Turner was the best pastor I think Ebenezer Baptist Church had, as far as I was concerned. Mr. Turner was a chaplain in the Navy for over 20 years. He loved his church. He loved his church families. Reverend Turner loved all missions, and he supported these projects, including State Line, that helped us get Jessica involved over there. He not only gave of his money, but more importantly, his time. And after preaching at the Ebenezer every Sunday morning, Reverend Turner would leave there and go to a nursing home and have a worship service at the nursing home. And, you know, it takes a mighty good man to do that, and it takes a whole lot better one to walk in his footsteps. But he played a significant role in our vacation Bible study. He and his wife were excellent teachers, and they were excellent role models to everyone who knew them. And, you know, I just wish that I could have followed some of these men better than I did. We all had people we could walk behind and learn the right way, and the Lord had blessed us. And, you know, I thank the Lord just for letting me get up here today and do what I've done. And I thank him for pushing Satan out the way, because I know he gets in the way sometimes. But we didn't let him hold us up. And I thank y'all for putting up with me today. And I'm going to ask the Reverend Earl if he will come forward now. And I'm going to tell you a little something about Reverend Earl before we close. I told you about Reverend Turner, and I'm going to tell you something. Reverend Earl stands right at the top also. And I thank the Lord for sending him to Ephesus Baptist Church, and thank him for putting him in my life, and also thank him for sending Connie. Both of them is a blessing. And Earl, if you'll come forward, we have a invitational hymn. It's Have Thine Own Way, Lord, number 294. And if you have something you'd like to come forward and talk to Earl about this morning, he'd be glad to talk to you. If you would like to join us as a bunch of fellow believers, you can do it as through baptism, transfer a letter, and we'd love to have you. And we'll ask you to come forward if you have that in your heart today.